Welcome to Science Teaching Tips. This is a podcast by and for science teachers, created through the Exploratorium's Teacher Institute. I'm your host, Stephanie Chasteen. Each episode, I try to bring you some good ideas to use in your science classroom, like hands-on activities, teaching tips, science stories, and more. Today, we'll hear a great set of tips from a veteran teacher.
I'm Arlette Manders.
Who had plenty of time to figure out what works.
I've been teaching for 20 years. I'm retired. Should I say that?
Sure.
I'm a retired teacher.
She taught high school.
I taught chemistry and biology.
And here's what she has to say to new teachers.
Someone once mentioned to me that science teachers were usually the first teachers to get to work and the very last to leave. Art teachers and culinary arts teachers have to clean up classrooms, but I think science teachers have the toughest of all jobs. I know many science teachers who've bailed out and become math teachers because it's physically easier. They don't have to clean up anything, and you're there with all this stuff. So I was going to start with some tips to make life easier for the science teacher. In my opinion, the easiest thing to do is get yourself a timer. And if you are like me and you wander all over the lab during your laboratory or activity, get one with a loud buzzer so you'll be able to hear it. And set the alarm to give yourself enough time to get the kids to stop and clean up. If you have a lab room that's your own, you should definitely start the year by diagramming what equipment goes in each student drawer and cabinet. Either do it with Ditto handouts or put it on the board. It's going to take probably a whole day to do this, but it's worth it. And get them to put everything in a specific place in that drawer. Make sure they put everything back in there. Make sure it's right, or deduct points from them, and they'll come along and make sure that everything goes back in there correctly. And it's important that you allow the time to clean up, because if you don't, you're going to become really angry, you're going to be resentful, you're going to be unwilling to do labs, and that won't be much fun for either you or the kids. It's important also to keep all of your lab activities, lesson plans, anything you've done, in a teaching box, which is simply a box with a good label. And then usually you can save these things and then repeat them the following year if they're really good. Laboratory planning is really important. If you cannot complete a lab in one period, then you will have to know where you can stop and where you can leave the reactions. It's a good idea, too, to check with the teacher that's coming in next. Find out where you can put stuff that won't be in their way if you have that kind of a situation also. Now, if you happen to be one of those unfortunate people who have to wander around with a cart, you have to be really selective about what labs you're going to do. And you have to be really conscious of the time constraints. And realize that there's only so much stuff you can put on this cart. And I know you feel bad about this, but you're not responsible for not having a classroom, so you must not let this get you down. The other teachers in the department are aware of your problem, and they usually will do whatever they can to help. Even sometimes you can switch labs with somebody if you're doing something really special. So the next thing I want to talk about is getting out of your classroom a little bit. It's important to get out of the confines of your classroom and discover other resources. I would urge you to go to workshops such as those given by the Exploratorium. I would also urge you to join at least one professional science teaching society. The National Science Teachers Association, the American Chemical Society Division of Chemical Education, and the California Association of Science Teachers are but a few that I can suggest. My favorite is the National Mold Day Foundation. Now, you're going to have a lot of paper if you join these things and you go to the sessions, etc. So make yourself some boxes and label them journals or professional development activities and just put them in the box. You probably won't have time to read all this stuff at first, especially if you're a beginning teacher. Take it out during summer vacation and look at it. Some of it will have been dated and it'd be too late for you to do whatever, but just put it in there because it'll keep you current. And when you do have time, then you can act upon them. I know teaching five periods a day during your first year is exhausting, and it leaves you little time for anything else. After a year or two, you might feel comfortable enough to venture out and attend a National Science Teachers Association meeting or the state conference of the California Association of Science Teachers. This is a lot of fun, very informative. You meet new people, increases your networking system, and it opens up more opportunities in science education. So that when you come back to school, you have a lot of new ideas. This is a really great mental health experience. And if the opportunity presents itself and you feel you're up to it, join some committees in your own school district. I would just end this by saying that during your years of teaching, you're probably going to work harder than any job you've ever done, and most people will never understand that. You're going to ask yourself, what am I doing here? Remember, you may forget the names of all of your students over the years, but they're never going to forget your name. And you're always going to be the person that they had for science class.
Hey, if you like that, come on back for more. You can find more of our podcasts, as well as information on our teacher programs, on our website at www.exploratorium.edu/TI. We are supported by the National Science Foundation's Internships in Public Science Education. Today's show was produced by Stephanie Chastine. That's me. Music is licensed under the Creative Commons. You've heard Everything's Going to Be All Right by Jacques Grant and Rewired.